Everyone loves the golden rule. Every religion seems to have its own version of it. But if everyone loves the golden rule, why is society in such a mess? Does the golden rule work? And if not, why not? Join with me as we discuss the golden rule. Hi, Paul Shepherd here, and welcome back to the channel. You know, some people think that having faith means believing a bunch of impossible things. But here at Rational Christianity, we take a rational approach to understanding Christianity. We combine history, science, the Bible, and an understanding of human nature to make Christianity make sense. Everyone is welcome here. The Golden Rule seems to be a sort of global ethic. Most versions of the rule are similar in form to the version from Jesus found in the Sermon on the Mount. From Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, we have, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." As other examples from Buddhism, we have, "A state that is not pleasing or delightful to me, how could I inflict that upon another?" From Confucianism, "Try your best to treat others as you would wish to be treated yourself, and you will find that this is the shortest way to benevolence." From Hinduism, we have, "This is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you." And there are many other variations from other religious groups. Even atheist groups and humanist groups have their own version of the Golden Rule. It does seem to be a global aspiration. And certainly many groups want to claim that they invented the Golden Rule. So obviously it is widely recognized. Given all the different versions, personally I prefer the ones that are a little bit more concrete. My favorite version of the Golden Rule comes from Islam. Not from the Quran, but from the Hadith, which are the writings based on the sayings and the actions of Muhammad, peace be upon him. The version I like best goes like this. "One is not a believer whose stomach is filled while their neighbor goes hungry." I like the fact that it is very concrete, not vague. But at the same time, it obviously points beyond the concrete. It is not just about sharing food. It is about equity and justice for all. We even have alternative versions of the Golden Rule within the Bible. In the story of Jesus speaking with the scribe in Mark chapter 12, a scribe asks Jesus what the most important commandment is. And Jesus responds, "The first is, love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus goes on to say that this attitude towards your neighbor brings you not far from the kingdom of God. And so I consider that story an extension of the Golden Rule. This story is about love, but when we love people, it usually leads to action. So to me, this story expresses the same underlying aspiration as the Golden Rule. And this story adds a nice qualifier in the word neighbor. The story invites us to consider who it is that we should apply the Golden Rule to. In spite of the popularity of the Golden Rule, the rule has its critics. One common criticism is that the Golden Rule, "do unto others as you would have them do to you," only makes sense if the other person wants what you want. It only makes sense if the other person shares your thoughts and desires. George Bernard Shaw criticized the Golden Rule, saying, "Do not do unto others as you would that they should do unto you. Their tastes may not be the same as yours." The Golden Rule, in a literal form, is very ethnocentric, because it assumes that what is good for me is also good for you. Understood that way, it suggests we work for equality, giving everyone the same thing, whether or not it's what they need. Personally, I do not see that as a real criticism of the Golden Rule itself, but rather a criticism of the precise words used. Because I have always assumed, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I have always assumed that the intention of the Golden Rule is that we should treat others as we treat ourselves in terms of respect, tolerance, opportunity, understanding, and love. It is about equity, not equality. The Golden Rule does not really mean that because I like peanut butter, that I should give a peanut butter sandwich to somebody who I know is allergic to peanuts. Other criticisms of the Golden Rule are much more insightful and certainly more challenging. The Enlightenment philosopher Immanuel Kant apparently dismissed the Golden Rule in a single footnote. but he made at least three different points, so at least it was a long footnote. And in Kant's footnote, he points to one legitimate concern about the Golden Rule, which is situational. In Kant's argument, imagine that no person ever wants to go to jail. Now imagine that you and I have committed a crime together, and that we've just been sentenced for the crime, and our punishment should be to spend time in jail. And so now imagine that we tell the judge that because the judge would not want to go to jail herself, the Golden Rule demands that the judge not send us to jail either. Well, now, at least this is a criticism of the Golden Rule that is not just nitpicking and wordsmithing. Kant thought this was a serious rebuttal to the Golden Rule itself. And it does bring up a very interesting point. And I will simply agree that the judge, if she wants to follow the Golden Rule, should not send us to jail. But at the same time, you and I do not want to live in a society where convicted criminals run free. So if you and I follow the Golden Rule, we will go to jail voluntarily. The judge does not have to send us to jail because we go there ourselves. The Golden Rule still works in this case, but for it to work, both the judge and the criminal have to both follow it. And this demonstrates one of the two more significant questions about the Golden Rule. Does the Golden Rule only work if everyone follows it? Or is it a principle we can follow to the best of our abilities, regardless of how others respond to us? Should we practice the Golden Rule when there is no reciprocity? In our day-to-day lives, I think we do usually balk at using the Golden Rule when there is no reciprocity. But let us not forget that in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 46, Jesus also said, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same?" Jesus pushes us to recognize our enemy as our neighbor, regardless of how our enemy views us. Jesus does not see the need for reciprocity with the Golden Rule. Now, I know we like to pretend that following the teachings of Jesus is simple, but it is not. And certainly in this case, this is not how our society generally operates. In our society, we almost always demand reciprocity before we are willing to do good things ourselves. I have my own reservations about the Golden Rule. One trivial reservation, and one significant one. My trivial reservation is the name Golden. To me, the word gold invokes images of inequality, disparity, and the accumulation of wealth in the hands of the few. And that is pretty much the opposite of the intention of the Golden Rule, which is to live with equity. This at least has led to many jokes along the lines of Golden Rule, the one with the gold, gets to make the rules. But perhaps my objection to the name Golden is just nitpicking. My significant problem with the Golden Rule is this. If all of the major world religions claim to have and to follow the Golden Rule, why is our world in such a mess? I mean, even atheist and secular groups preach the Golden Rule. Why do we have so much war and hostility? Why do we have so much disparity globally in every important aspect of life? Money, food, water, mobility, access to education, access to decent health care, and so on. That question is what ultimately forced me to write my book, Evolving Christianity, using scientific thinking to evolve Christianity to fight racism and other social diseases. The introduction opens with these words, quote, "All religions preach love. Why then is love so absent on our streets? Consider this. 84% of the global population are religious. If 84% of the population of the planet are preaching love, why is there so much hatred? Christianity was a religious powerhouse in North America for hundreds of years, and for over 1,000 years in Europe. And yet, sexism and racism persisted in both places. Doesn't Christianity preach love for all? Right now, in 2020, we are in the middle of Black Lives Matter and a global pandemic that is revealing massive inequalities between the people of the world. These demonstrate lack of love. What gives? Is it possible that religions simply do not work? If religions work, they should be injecting love into the world in significant ways. Why did Christianity not eliminate racism and sexism when it had the clout to do it? Something does not make sense. End quote. It seems to me that either the golden rule does not really work, or else we are just too selective about when we choose to use it. And you know, usually we don't even talk about it outside the church. Do we only follow the golden rule 1 hour per week? Or do we try to bring it to life during the other 167 hours? About 10 years ago, U.S. statesman Ron Paul actually referred to the golden rule in a public debate about foreign policy. Paul said, quote, "If another country does to us what we do to other countries, we're not going to like it very much. So I would say that maybe we ought to consider a golden rule in foreign policy. Do not do to other nations what we do not want them to do to us." We endlessly bomb these countries, and then we wonder why they get upset with us. End quote. He later continued, quote, "We bomb, invade, and occupy nations we falsely accuse of possessing certain weapons. We would never stand for being bombed and occupied, even though we actually do have those weapons. Therefore, we should stop doing that to other nations." End quote. And he closed later with, quote, "But that does not prove that the golden rule is wrong. On the contrary, it proves that our foreign policy is wrong." End quote. What I found fascinating was that the audience in the debate booed Ron Paul for suggesting that the U.S. should consider following the golden rule in its foreign policy. But the audience cheered when Newt Gingrich proposed that the way to deal with your enemies is to kill them. That reminded me of the bumper sticker that says, quote, "When Jesus said love your enemies, I'm pretty sure he did not mean kill them." End quote. I think that most of the criticisms of the golden rule boil down to nitpicking about the precise words used, and about how other people are not us, and therefore might not want what we want and all that. And those are good points. But I think we do not talk enough about what I believe is a single critical flaw in the golden rule. The flaw that allows the golden rule to sound wonderful, to allow it to become a truly global ethic, while at the same time draining the golden rule of virtually all of its transformational power. The flaw is in a single word. In the traditional version of the golden rule, that word is others. When we say do to others, who is included in that others? Is it only people that we like? Is it only people who reciprocate? Or does it include even our enemies? In the version of the golden rule found in Mark, the word in question is neighbor, but it's the same problem. Who is my neighbor? And again, is it only people that I like? Who is my neighbor? When a Pharisee asked Jesus that question, the answer was the parable of the Good Samaritan. In that story, the hero was a Samaritan, and in Jesus' day, Jews hated Samaritans. Jesus was saying that my neighbor includes everyone, even your enemies. The answer to the question, who is my neighbor, is simply this. The answer is, well, who isn't? We are all connected, after all. I know we like to pretend otherwise, but we are all connected. Jesus said that the golden rule represents the second most important commandment. Well, what about the first, the most important commandment? How are we to give God our love? Should God really dominate all of our desires? What about other rivals for our affections? Now, you might expect me to preach against the rivals of money, power, and other forms of addiction. But what about the rivals for God's affection that are wholesome, worthwhile, and good, like family, like community? I like to imagine that Jesus intended these two commands to be heard together because, just possibly, they are actually the same command. On the Sojourner's website, Martin Smith expressed this well, saying that we need to understand the two aspects of Jesus' commands within, quote, a kind of enlightenment, a discovery that God is one, as an all-inclusive one, undergirding, permeating, and connecting all. God is not a rival of anything, but a secret presence in all things. So the second commandment is a window into one of the implications of the first. Love of neighbor and of self are all possible when we see our neighbors and our enemies, and our own selves as vessels of hidden divine presence. It sounds so simple. Love others because they are vessels of divine presence. And love ourselves because we ourselves are also vessels of divine presence. But I'm sure we all know it's easier to say that than to consistently do it. Perhaps the name Golden is actually a problem. Perhaps by calling the rule Golden, we lock it away in a safety deposit box. We do not use it on a day-to-day basis. Perhaps we protect the rule like gold instead of using the rule to guide us into living better lives. Perhaps we don't use the rule until we are guaranteed reciprocity. Perhaps we limit the use of the rule only to neighbors who are already our friends. But if we only love those who love us, what reward should we expect for that? However, if we can draw the circle wide and draw it wider still, if we can apply the golden rule even to our enemies, then we will find better lives for ourselves. Perhaps we will find ourselves not far from the kingdom of God. Amen. Hi again, and thanks for joining in today. I'm Reverend Dr. Paul Shepherd, a minister with the United Church of Canada, currently serving at Sydenham Heritage United Church in Brantford, Ontario. I'm also an environmental scientist with a PhD in physics. I'm passionate about making Christianity make sense. Please subscribe to the channel and feel free to visit the church either in person or online. You might also enjoy my book, Evolving Christianity, which is about taking a scientific, rational approach to Christianity in order to fight racism and other social diseases. I hope you have a great day. We'll see you next time.